Good morning. I think we should open the meeting. So welcome to you, those in attendance, honourable members. Today's presentation is from the Office on the Status of Disabled People. So we do welcome the director, Benny as well as saying so welcome to the Parliament. A member has SMS'd me to say that they will be a little bit late, but I think we should proceed with the meeting. So without staying and delaying any more time, I'll hand over to the OSDP. Members, you all got copies of the documents. I think there's two copies that we should have. These are the two documents. And then one like this as well. We should have from the OSDP. So I'll hand over to the OSDP. If you just introduce yourself. But if you do refer to any document, you just tell me what document you're talking from, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Benny Padime. I'm the head of the Office on the Status of Disabled Persons in the Presidency. And with me is Zain Bulbulia, is the Deputy Director responsible for policy. Quite surprisingly, in the Presidency, they are called now policy analysts. So it's one of those. Let me start by wishing the honourable members present here a prosperous 2009. I know that it's for the first time that we meet. We met only last year, late into the year, and we hope to then come back to you, Chairperson, and the Honourable Chair and the Committee to present our next strategic plan once we have completed that process in the Presidency. We have been asked to report to present the annual report of 2008 and to also report on our expenditure of 2007 and 2008. And that's what we are going to be doing. We have given honourable members a presentation that has all those issues, but also a little booklet that we think that honourable members should keep on their desks and keep referring to that little booklet from time to time, because as lawmakers, you will know that most of your work would depend upon international instruments, whether that's done internally in South Africa and so forth. But I think that booklet will actually assist in ensuring that we comply with the policies and strategies and the laws that come out of Parliament. Members can then be able to monitor us more closely, because then that's a baseline document that would actually guide the processes. We will talk through the implementation of that booklet, just if the chairperson allows us for 2 minutes right at the end of the presentation. We divided our work into strategic objectives and functions of the Office on the Status of Disabled Persons. That is a whole myriad of activities that members will see. And right at the end, the second part, which they will do, is actually on the expenditure process, but it's fairly short. He will then just gloss through the figures and give you the remainders and so forth, and the subtractions and all the pluses. I'm not very good at maths because I'm not a mathematician, I'm a lawyer. So we'll deal with it that way. In terms of the work that we have done, we have somehow included work from January 2007 to March, because we just thought just to give members something which is not just jointed, we will have to explain what we've done for the first 3 months in any case. we've done there, Honorable Chair and Member, we have made sure that we put into place administrative processes in the office. We've done our strategic planning session around about that time, and we've also done work around auditing of projects. You will remember, Chairperson, that and honourable members, that we get money from donors. You know, countries like Denmark, Sweden, Flanders, and others. So we have to do those financial audits. So we spend a lot of time and money there in terms of those processes. Our activities then would also, if you look at mainstreaming in particular, we've done a lot of work around policy. The reason we've had to do this, Chairperson, is that when we presented our threat plan to the committee, we had made sure that we explained to the committee the process of mainstreaming within the OSDP, in the presidency, and within government. But secondly, we had asked for permission from this committee to review the integrated national disability strategy, which the committee agreed to, and then we went ahead with that process. So we've spent quite a lot of money on policy work. What we've had to do, we set up a task team to review the integrated strategy. We then took it through the processes of review by consultation with the organization for persons with disabilities in the country. We then went to a lengthy process of workshops with that particular task team. And Honorable Chair, you know, for this process, we did not appoint a single consultant. We did it single-handedly in the OSCP with that particular task team, because we were just a little bit skeptical about appointing consultants for this work. So we had to do it ourselves. So we spent a lot of money really on the task team work, on the review and the report that we've had to do. But we will talk to the status of this document at the end, if the chair has not allowed us just 1 minute or so. So that's what we've done. Then we've looked at the question of capacity building. There we worked closely with the South African Management Development Institute at that time. The Honorable Chair and members will know that it has changed now to Palama. It's still within the public service, but it's still a training institute. We had to do that work with SAMDI because they had to critique our curriculum and approve it and set it according to SAQA standards. What we gave the government department really was an NQF level 4. Curriculum. So we are going to upgrade it in the next training session for the UN Convention. We've assisted the disabled people's organizations in that regard. We've also trained government departments. We went into a number of provinces, and also at local government we've been doing some work within 2007 and 2008. So that's why we spent some money. But what we've done, we had to do this work through transfers. So we would send somebody some money with small tranches when they complete a certain piece of work. We then send the other tranche. With regard to monitoring and evaluation, what we have done here was to move into disability research to look at what work we can do together with Statistics South Africa, and we've done that. And then the publication of indicators, disability indicators within the normal development framework indicators of the presidency. We've had to spend some money there because SSA worked with us, and also the monitoring and evaluation section of the presidency worked with us in that regard. Then, Chairperson, one of the honorable chair, the bigger chunk of the money that we spent also was on the disability summit, which the chair had the privilege of attending with us, especially, and giving us input there. It was a process that we had to undertake because, firstly, we had to get an approval of the policy framework. That's the kind of a process we had to take it through the summit process to approve. We then agreed in principle with the disabled people's organizations that were there as to how the process will unfold. Then, Honorable Chair, within that summit, we also launched officially the National Disability Machinery, which is funded totally by the OSDP. So that's what we have then spent money upon. Honorable Chair will know that we have presented the summit resolutions here in front of the committee once we were summoned to appear here. The process of the National Disability Machinery has unfolded. We also held meetings of the National Disability Machinery to make sure that we finalize the processes from cabinet. And I must say that the NDM is really functioning very well. We keep strengthening it all the time, and we're giving it necessary support. Then, Chairperson, Honorable Chair, we then looked at our international obligations. With regard to that, we had to take a lot of time spending some money with regard to the UN Convention. We've had to do some work in New York, for example, with regard to the signing, the ratification, the conference of state parties, and so forth. And as you know, Honorable Members, the country has now ratified this convention. It's now an official document. It was done by this committee in June 2007. And then we took it through to New York for ratification after the committee had approved the ratification. With regard to the African Decade of Persons with Disabilities, we are still continuing to give support to the Secretariat of the Decade. We have been able to fund a number of board meetings of the decade, and the program of the decade is still continuing, so we've had to do some work around that, the Secretariat. As you know, Honorable Members, the Secretariat is actually based in Cape Town. So we have to now agree with them how we, you know, assist them with finances and so forth to a certain extent. So what we have been doing then within 2007 and 2008, we've really has been assisting here and there, not totally as we should have liked to do. Then with regard to work around advocacy, Honorable Chair, we spend money on the International Day of Disabled Persons, which was held in Cape Town at that time. That seems to be a lot of money that is drawn from the exchequer from December. That's where our major withdrawal was at that point. But we had a partnership with the Western Cape Provincial Department, Provincial Government, that agreed that we would work together in hosting the International Day of Disabled Persons. Then, Honorable Chair, what we have done, we have spent money, of course, on items, for example, such as travel and accommodation, catering, departmental administration with regard to necessary administrative issues in the office, such as stationery, telephone costs, and stuff like that. And then also we've had to spend money on printing. That's one of the major things, because we've had to do a lot of braille printing for documents. And and that is not necessarily linked to the presidency administrative budget. You have to do it within the OSDP if you need those particular documents printed in braille. So those those are major things that we will be spending money on with regards to administration of the office. One thing I must highlight, Honorable Chair, is that we always apply for deviation, particularly when it comes to International Day of Disabled Persons. The reason being that we procure a lot of things, you know, when we have these big functions, we then procure stage, sound, you know, all those things, marquees and so forth. So what we would do then is to apply for a deviation, or if we need to transfer money to a province which is hosting, so we'll have to do that at some point. And that has really always assisted us a lot, because we would avoid a situation where we do not cater for people who can procure from the province. And you find a situation where sometimes, you know, we really don't want to procure things at national and send them to a province. It just doesn't make sense. It's rather that we procure with a province which is hosting International Day of Disabled Persons. Then, Chairperson, Honorable Chair, with regard to the method, we've done projections from time to time. So what we do in the presidency, every 3 months, we actually check our projections and see as to how much money you will spend in the next 3 months and so forth. So we do that quarterly. And the projections are really assisting us a lot, because you know, we don't want a situation where we project expenditure and sometimes we don't either reach that or we overspend. So we've always worked in that regard. We've given reports to National Treasury and we've made sure that we looked at the audited financial statements that we usually work together with internal audit in the presidency and also the Auditor General. So what I will do now, Chair, I'm just going to ask Zain to take you through the figures briefly, what we have spent, what remained at that time that we had through then, because you know, just so that we have a clearer understanding of how much money we spent for that particular financial year. And then what I will do, Chair, if you allow me, I will quickly go through the process of implementing the UN Convention and also the policy framework. Just very, very briefly.
Morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'll just go briefly through the budget. If you've got the facts, it's on page 5, and it says the main expenditure incurred on the following activities. The total budget that the OSDP received from Treasury was 3.8 million, and the total expenditure that we spent was 3.6. There was a balance remaining of 179,244, which then got returned. The key activity areas that the money was spent on was mainstreaming and awareness activities. Now, what we've done with the various key activities, we've project managed them and we've put them in project in terms of financing and seeing how we work it.
Sorry, Madam Chair, can I just mention page 5? I'm not sure on which document you're on now. We've got a couple of documents here.
It's in the pack that was sent right after financials. Yeah, it's broken down into a pie chart.
Before due respect, it's a summary.
Yes.
It's not a budget, and it's also not expenditure, so it doesn't help us at all.
Yes. Honourable, but we've also re-emailed the total expenditures. Well, I don't think there's copies there.
Madam Chair, if you compare the amount,
I don't know where this document comes from. I have a copy on my table.
Yes, we have got that, but that one gives a budget of 2.54 million, and the expenditures correlate with what you have given in your presentation, but not with the 3.869 million that you have mentioned as budgeted.
Yes. Sorry, Honourable.
I agree with you, Honourable Member. That was submitted in my next question because these two documents differ from others. I think they explain to us.
Yeah,
for this budget, and then get the documents.
Okay, if we go through the budget on goods and service was 2.54, and then the budget compensation, which is 1.329, which compensation would then take into salaries and that. So the total budget would then come up to 3.8, total expenditure 3.6, and returning 179, if that's here. And so what we've done is we've project managed each line item according to the deputy director's performances, and we've broke them up into allocating them fees and sums of money so that they could then work out their total budget and what the cost for the year in terms of the programs. So mainstreaming awareness activities, total spent there was 950. Monitoring and evaluation.
Sorry to interrupt. Can you get the figure, the budget figures on small for salary?
Okay.
Because they're not written on the page.
Yeah. Okay. Budget compensation was 1.3 million. 1329.
That is the actual spending, but what was the budget?
That was the actual. What has happened is, from our finance department, they could not break it down further for us right to the last. They're actually busy auditing that last figure to give us the final figure of the expenditure of the budget.
I appreciate that. What we need is what was actually budgeted, because what you are giving us now as the budget is the total of salaries and wages and social contributions as an expenditure. That's not what we asked. We should ask, what was his budget? What was the original budget?
The original budget on compensation, or the total balance of budgeted for OSDP, was 3.869. The budget on salaries is 1.3, but because they bulk the salaries in the GDC unit, and that's where they take out money. So finance was busy. In fact, when we left, they were busy trying to sort that out, because there's a complete mess up with the finance. Okay.
I would like to know, the salary is 1.3, but you just said, but where do you get it from? Because from this document that I have in front of me, it says 1.74. So you don't need 1.174. But you said 1.3.
But where do you get that? But down to 75 just below the line.
Can you see it?
That social contribution, is that the salary that is being used with the total?
Yes.
Yeah, we just need clarity, like when the as well.
Yes.
So we just need.
Because social contribution, I thought it was something else and not anything related to salaries and wages.
No, no, it's part of the salary.
Okay.
But it's still not budget.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. What I need to explain to you also, honorable members, is that the process in the presidency has always been that managers did not actually manage the salaries of the staff. It's only now, within that past year, that we started now managing the salaries of our staff. It has always been managed by finance and HR. And what we get from finance and HR is what we rely on. But as Zain has explained, what we will then do, Honorable Chair, is to send you that detailed, broken down section of the salary, so you can see how this budget is done. It came from HR and finance, actually, literally. But within 2008 and 2009, actually in the middle of 2008 and 2009, we were then asked that we should start managing the salaries of our employees in the presidency. But we will try and give you something that will help you to understand how we proceed with this matter. There has been quite a number of changes in the treasury regulations, as honorable members will know, and that that has also affected the presidency directly. But we will certainly do that. I suppose that's the clarity that we would want to do. The other thing is that what we are giving you actually comes also from internal audit in the presidency. What I'm trying to put through to honorable members is that we only manage budgets that are allocated responsibility codes for responsibility managers. Others are processes are dealt with by internal audit. The CFO, finance section, and HR. So it's a broader process. So we might not be able to give you everything that you need at this point, because we end up not actually managing this other sections of finances in our offices, except the responsibility codes, where we purchase goods and services. So that's the majority of the finances that we manage.
I think with due respect to what Ben is trying to explain, I'm sure we're dealing with an annual report. And my feeling is that it would be unfair, or it should have been, that Ben brought in some people from whether HR, from finance, to account for this report, because to ask Bailey, because he says they do not directly deal with these things, they only started in June, July. I think even the OCP should have foreseen that they needed somebody to report on these issues, because they are financial related, they need a CFO or somebody, and I'm sure we cannot expect Bailey to then to account, because the easiest answer that would give us is that no, I don't deal with this thing. Because we have questions, there are quite a number of questions that we have. For instance, in an annual report, you need proper, financial statements. Can you work on those issues?
Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Can I just maybe, before Benny responds, chairperson, and I think, I concur with what I've been saying. And I think the one thing that we must agree upon is that that stage in terms of the budget and how you indicate surplus or balance remaining is not valid, and you can't rely on that, because we don't know what the original budget was, including salaries. And we know it cannot be the actual amount. It never works like that. I've never seen that in my life. And obviously that then has got a reflection on the rest as well. Because if you look at the detailed spending, there's quite a number of expenditures where, if you compare it to the budget, it was budgeted zero. So there's quite a lot. The chairperson or the of OATP, or the person has said very that they haven't used consultants. There's a huge overspending on consultants. 343,000 compared to 130,000 in the budget. So there's quite a number of other things where on the budgeted column it shows zero. For instance, catering. It was on the budget zero, 102,000 was spent. Consultants, 343,000 was spent compared to 130,000. Venues and facilities was spent 288,000 compared to 148,000. And there's a number of smaller points as well. So then we would at least agree that these we can't rely on if it's not been properly given to us.
Yes. No, what I was saying, Honorable Chair, is that we did not use consultants for policy in terms of the work that we've done. We've only used them for other aspects like conducting workshops and the question of the summit was also where we also used the consultants. So it's not what I was trying to explain. I'm not saying we have not used consultants completely. We have. But not on the policy, because we have spent, of course, a whole lot of money. The figures that we have given you now, are the figures that we also have received from finance. I think honorable members must understand, we are not abrogating our responsibility to somebody else. The process, remember, is that we account for the expenditure. As the OSDP. I was trying to explain a simple thing of saying the processes of managing this thing are not done in the OSDP per se. We authorize and sign off on responsibility codes. We still are responsible for expenditure in the office. So you do not necessarily need the CFO to be here to explain this kind of thing. What we could do, Chairperson, then is to agree that on the whole, the expenditures that were there were actually activity-based, which we think we have actually gone according to that particular activity plan as I presented before. Secondly, there's a section where the Honourable Member has highlighted a number of aspects where he says that we seem to have gone over the limits of spending. What is actually budgeted for is estimated according to the previous year. Right? So what we will do would be to budget for, let's say we look at 2006-07, we look at how much money we spend, and then we budget according to that. The other issue is that when we then spend, you would find that there are problems with increasing rates of consultants, increasing prices, and stuff like that. Not that we do not anticipate those things, we do. The only problem is that it catches up with us when the inflation rate hits. Then we've got to go according to that. So, but what we've done then is to put into place a system which says within the MTEF period, we will then anticipate that at least a measurable 10% would then be added accordingly. Geometrically according to the expenditure incurred or expenditure expected to be incurred in the next 3-4 years. So that's the process that we have now put into place. What I'm trying to also say, Chairperson, is that the figures that we are giving you have been audited. So I cannot agree with the Honourable Member who say that this is not something that they can rely on. The figures have been audited. We're talking about an audit that was done in the presidency in 2008 financial year. So what we could then do, Chair, is to then go back also. But I would like to make honorable members understand that the reason we were giving this figures is that we were not actually clearly told that now we need detailed financial statements, which is not a problem. Those things are available. Zainab explained that when we left Johannes at Pretoria, our finance department was working very hard on this, but this is what they could give us for us to explain to honorable members how it had worked. Chairperson, if you could then allow me quickly just 2 minutes to finish off, then we can. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask a simple question in terms of your approach with budget. You say that
you
look at the previous years and you add a percentage.
Yes.
Do you budget, in other words, do you budget because you've spent it in the past, or do you budget because it's necessary to spend it in the future? Because that's a huge difference. You know, then it means that, you know, you do it because it has been done in the past.
No.
And not necessarily because you confirm that it is going to be essential to reach the targets and the objectives in the future. There's also a thing what they call zero-based budgeting, and that's quite different from just adding to what you've done in the past. Because some of these over expenditures is a lot more than the inflation, the CPI. It's like double, and some is more triple. So that argument is very difficult to bring that in line with what we have seen here.
What we do, Honorable Chair, is that we take in the previous year. For example, let's go and see the flight tickets and accommodation for staff members, right? So we will look at the previous year's prices. We take those and we compare them with the current year prices. We look at what extent has that increased. What are the anticipated increases that will happen? I'm just giving a simple example of a flight ticket and a hotel booking for a staff member who has to come to cater to the JMC. We then say, okay, in the next 3 years, we anticipate that if we add 10% to each year, the cost will be so much within that particular year. So you see, what we do then is that we would not necessarily budget this much because of the previous year. No. We do not add standing amount of total. We look at the percentage, the difference between percentage and current amount. And that's what we would then do. In terms of the issues the Honorable Chair that Honorable Mare has raised, you know, Honorable Chair, the difficulty with activity-based budget is that you sometimes do not anticipate over expenditure on items, not on the total overall budget. That's where our problem still lies, and I think it's something that needs to be corrected within the office. We will do that. But as you can see, within the total overall budget, we still understand by 139,000, which we have sent back to Treasury. So these are the issues. So I'm sure Honorable Mare is actually looking at items, not looking at the overall total budget. But that's the approach that we have taken currently. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, if I can ask then, can I continue just for the last 2 minutes that I've asked? Is that fine? Thank you very much.
Sorry, one more question.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. One doesn't wish to belabor a point, but one clearly has a distinct impression that perhaps the sheet that was issued to us now is not complete, because in the pie chart, I think there's a aerial view as a complete expenditure in terms of activities as they've been characterized the year. But if one look at this particular sheet, clearly the two things does not speak to one another. So which means that this to my mind, Benny, it's not complete, because it does say expenses for salaries and wages, as the chair have raised earlier, it's a specific amount, and next to the next column indicate budget zero. So that ought to be a mistake. The third item, advertising, 23,000 was spent, and 460,000 were budgeted. You see, so that means a gross underspending So, Honorable Mare raised this issue of the other line item that indicates consultation or consultants contact and special delivery, where there was a 343,000 expenditure and a 130,000 rental budget. So clearly, there ought to be something wrong here. Because if you want to look at the total expenditure versus the total budget, the total budget here indicates 2.5 million, while the expenditure indicates 3.6 million. So there indeed is something not, I would say, 100% correct with this sheet that we received here. And that adds to our confusion. Thank you.
Okay, let me just clear the confusion. The 2.5 million we spent the expenditure on.
Sorry,
yes.
Have two more hands.
Okay.
And then let them complete and ask their questions and then you can answer.
Okay.
There's only one concern that I want to raise is being about the reporting only about expenses. Because we as a JMC want to interrogate the OCP on everything.
Mm.
So I think that is why the OCP is here. So that is why I feel it is important that other people, whether the CSO, who have dealings, because honestly, if you budget, you budget according to your objective. This is what we want to achieve. We don't budget just to spend money. We have to monitor and oversee the programs of the OSDP. So that's one area then where I feel I really have a concern that if we cannot interrogate you on these financial issues because they have an implication for disabled people, so that we could be able to answer outside, so that we could be able to explain outside. Thanks.
The budget amount will obviously be more than the expenditure. If you look at the first column on that on Mr. Dillard's blue sheet, okay, so it can tell a different story. So I just would like that explained to me. I must, let me repeat myself. I must share this very clear. If you look at the budget column, I see there's quite a few zeros. And if those zeros are full, then it obviously means that the budget column will be more than the actual expenditure, okay? So it means that what the honourable members are saying, that obviously this budget is incomplete, and that is where the concern is coming from. How do I understand? I don't know, maybe Zane, if you've got a different sheet to what we have, or but I think you should have the same sheet, talking from the same book on sheet. Okay, if you just look at those budget columns, I'm talking from those budget columns there. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable Chair, let me just start by saying, you see, the when I started here, I was presenting the objectives of that particular budget. So as far as that is concerned, I think we've covered that area. I think honorable members are not only interested in the expenditure, yes, I agree, but we have presented the activities that we have done for the last year. I think that was the first major part of my presentation, and it's also in the document. Secondly, I must just say I agree with Honorable Andrew. You see, the reason why we didn't spend money on advertising is because we didn't have much to advertise.
That's not true.
No, it's true. But anyway, we if you remember, we, Madam Chair, you raised an issue with me around the appointment of a deputy director in the office, and we've had to then go into that. So that's one of the things we've done. But we've done work around, you know, posters that we've printed on awareness programs and so forth. So yes, I agree with Honorable Andrew. We've underspent there in that area. Then the other issue that Honorable Andrew raised, which was quite pertinent, I suppose, is that the Honorable, we've actually spent $2.5 million there on goods and services. Right? The total budget was 3.8, but then we spent 3.6 something that then we actually underspent 179,000, which we had to then relinquish back to Treasury. So that's just the confusion I'm trying to clear. Honorable Chair, I think I must agree with Honorable Andrew. The expenditure pattern has to be shifted around a little bit. I'll tell you why. I think there are certain things that we can be able to spend money on if we shift the figures around, and that we've had to do in the past. Because the reason being that, you know, if you take the certain aspects, you would see that you've underspent a little bit, and others have just gone over the spending limit, but per item, as Honorable Andrew is pointing out in his explanation. And Honorable Chair, I think we've alluded to the fact that this, what we are presenting to you, has been part of the audit of the presidency. Yes, we agree, it's not totally complete, because if you remember when we got the appointment to appear before the committee, we've had to now get statements from finance. What they could not do for us was to print out or recall all the detailed statements. So what we are giving you, yes, we agree, it's not complete compared as we would love it to be, or ourselves as well, but we're giving you an overall picture of the expenditure and an overall picture of how we went about with the relevant activities. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Then there's a question that was asked by Honorable Chair to say when you look at the columns there, you see what we then do, Honorable Chair, is to take as I said, the previous year's figures, we look at this, we look at how much we will then be able to spend in anticipation of the rates that we spend. You know, we have to plan around the entire cycle. So that's where our challenge still remains. We're not doing it quite perfectly, though. We're trying to master the process. And one of the difficulties we've had to deal with, Chairperson, was that we did not have a person who was responsible directly for finance. As you know, we've had some staff over in the OSDP. So there wasn't somebody who was quite responsible for finance, so we've done that now. We've appointed that person, and we've put into place a system which will then manage that type of approach in terms of expenditure. But that's what we can present to you now as part of the expenditure. One thing, Honorable Chair, is that I'm not getting questions from the Honorable members on the activities that we have presented, but I think it's more interested. The interest would lie in this particular section of the presentation, I suppose, and I think we understand that, Honorable Chair. Thanks.
We will obviously be questions on the section on activities.
Okay.
And obviously the interest is a lot on the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But Honorable Maria, your hand was up. They can ask.
Thank you, Chair. it's quite shocking the response that I've received. One must remember with a budget, and it seems like there's not a clear understanding of what is the budget or how a budget works and how financial management and cash flow management works. Jenny has admitted quite in the beginning that he doesn't know a lot about that. It seems like he doesn't know a lot about that. Eventually, you must get value for your money. In other words, you cannot spend purely because it has been budgeted for. And it is no high performance, with all due respect, to have a balance remaining of 179,000 rand. That is, first of all, It is shocking to underspend in this very important OSD, the office. What is more shocking is the underspending on essential things. Now, if you tell me that you have nothing to advertise, my goodness. I have got a disabled child, but I'm an able-bodied person. And I tell you from the perspective of able-bodied persons, where I've got a lot to do, I serve on national structures of sport, where I represent disability sport. My personal opinion is that most of able-bodied people across the board don't properly understand the essentials of people with disabilities. Now, there's a huge, huge, huge task to educate able-bodied people in terms of the realities around disabled. Now, you say to me that you have nothing to advertise. That's absolutely shocking and unacceptable. That's no wonder that I get the experience and the impression as an able-bodied person that nothing has been done. So you can't spend money and then say, you know, I've spent money. You must show results. And it seems like there's no result to show, so you've not performed as an accounting a person of to account for this money, with all due respect. So you can go into activities. You could have a lot of activities, but you could have achieved absolutely nothing.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable Chair, let me explain something. Okay.
Just hold quickly. Members, there are more questions. I will...
No, Chair, I wanted us to move forward. That we should agree on how we have to move forward on this issue. Whether, as Danny requested, we ask him to finish and then interrogate expenses and activities so that we move forward to
Yes, I would agree. I think the OSD team needs to first finish their presentation and then we will have a time set aside for members to ask questions. Okay, fine, go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I just want to, if the Chair allows me just 1 second to respond to Honourable Murray. When we talk about advertising, we talk about the HR function in the presidency. We're not talking about awareness. These are two separate things. When we advertise posts, we advertise when we have posts in the office. When we do awareness raising, we do it within the International Day of Disabled Persons and other awareness raising aspects. And therefore, that's where we actually spend more money on awareness raising. So there's a difference in my understanding of administration between advertising and awareness raising. Thank you very much. Just to finish the presentation, Chair, I just wanted to quickly take you through this process because I think you had asked me several times for you to do it and we haven't done it within this committee. The UN Convention Plan of Action has now been completed. It was one of the things that we did within this process, within the 7-8 budget. We then took a step to ratify the convention, as the Honourable Chair will understand. And then we then went to New York within this past year to look at the putting into force and effect of the convention and to be part of the process. We then had to attend the first conference of state parties, Madam Chair. And currently, as we speak, we are now the vice chair for Africa on the Bureau for the Convention. That was confirmed on the 3rd of November this past year, 2008. So there's a lot of work. Now, Honourable Chair, you know, there's work cut out for you in this case. There's the United Nations has now suggested that we host the first conference of state parties. On the international aspect of the convention. We would like to ask the committee to assist us in that process. We do not know as yet what is the date, but the process of the convention, where we are the vice chair, will take 2 years. So that's where we are going with regard to this. Then the UN Plan of Action our implementation from the 1st of March 2009, and that's where we are currently with the with regards to the UN Convention. With regards to the policy framework, Honorable Chair, we have taken the policy framework through all the processes, through the cluster processes. We've taken it to the National Disability Machinery, we've taken it through to the South African Disability Alliance, the interim structure, and currently as we speak, it's now being edited. Once that process is complete, we will then take it to Cabinet for approval purposes. Once it's approved, it will then come become the official policy. But Madam Chair, I think you've always raised this matter with me, that what is the difference now between the integrated strategy and the policy framework. We are not replacing the integrated strategy because we know that it's a mandate document. But here, we have the policy framework for South Africa, because we believe that the integrated strategy was just overtaken by events. There's been a lot of development. Many of the recommendations of the INDS have been implemented by departments, and we feel that this now will then complement the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And it will be something that will assist also with the implementation plan of the convention. Thank you very much.
The LACP is finished?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
Fine. Okay, honourable members, questions? As requested, it's going to be related to obviously activities and the expenditure, the budget, the as well as you've heard now, the convention as well as the policy framework. So I'm going to open the floor now for questions. I will go first. LSDP, the last time I presented, I was disappointed that the convention. We said you said it would be the retaining done for departmental staff first. When you presented to this committee, and for us to ratify that convention, when you came and asked us to ratify the convention, you told us then you would do a roadshow first, okay, and that to the disabled people first. And I think many of us would have liked the idea that you first go into the roadshow with disabled people before you actually go and do the training with the department. So now my question, the department getting the training on the convention, has that happened? And so that now that the roadshow can be implemented, can that happen? So that the local person on the ground can obviously understand the importance of this convention. I'm not talking about the National Disability Machinery, I'm not talking about the Disability Alliance, I'm talking about an ordinary man on the street. Would he know about this convention? Would it be roadshow to him? That's my one question. I have much more, but I will open to members now. Honorable Mark, welcome to the meeting. Okay, so Honorable Andrew, Honorable Maureen, and I shall be Honorable Andrew, please. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. You have covered me with regard to the roadshow. I think it's, we're also discussing in the context of the UN Convention and the strategic importance of informing and educating disabled people across the length and breadth of the country of this important convention that our country has ratified. So I think I'm covered in. I just want to know, and I may have misheard you when you were concluding now, when you made the reference to the INDS and the MDPF that is now will be tabled at Cabinet, and when Cabinet approved it will become the operational thing now. My understanding is that the INDS has been a process of reviewing it. And I just perhaps miss it to have a sense of where we are exactly with that review? Has the review been completed? Is the review still in progress, etc.? I think, and then of course, to what extent will the policy framework and the reviewed INDS speak to one another, because it must complement one another, can't contradict one another. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I must admit that, you know, it is very important for us, in my opinion, that we play the international role, the potential role that we can play, that because we're part of that club, so we must play according to those rules. What is more important for me is that we must first look inside to ourselves. Charity starts at home. I have picked up really so much concern for myself in terms of how people respond to the disability fraternity and the community. I often get the impression that state departments, businesses will say, yes, we have got a policy with regard to disabled people. Yes, you know, we do this, and yes, we believe in this. But when you go and look at practice, you see that they are not committed to doing that. That means that nobody is really monitoring them, and nobody is really making sure. One example. And I do this every year with the annual statements of government state departments. And you see there's, with all due respect, you know, last year the target for employment for women was increased. Fantastic, I've got no problem with that. But if you look at the target for employment of people with disabilities, it's still at 2%. But if you look at the actual employment of people with disabilities, I think it's less than 1%. And I'm saying to myself, and I'm asking myself, what do the office do to get government departments to play the leading role and employ more people with disabilities? I mean, I fight with SARS in terms of my portfolio that I serve on finance, and I fight with all the others that we interrogate, why they don't employ people with disabilities. And I've once said at the South African Reserve Bank, when I asked them, they said, yes, they have got some people with, you know, deaf people in the mint. I said, no, that's not acceptable. They are not just there where, you know, a lot of noise must be. They have got capabilities and they've got abilities, skills. What do we do? What do the office do to have a plan that more people with disabilities are employed? Also, the other thing that I've personally experienced, and that is, what role does the office play in terms of tax legislation? I mean, I make a point of that, and the Commissioner of SARS and his staff always know that I ask the questions about the benefits for disabled and the deductions and all those kind of things. What do the office do? Because in my opinion, the State Department don't really know the challenges that people with disabilities are facing and the cost involved in that. So we can have a lot of talk, we can have a lot of money being spent, and then you can tell yourself, at home, what do we do? What is the value that we get? And don't tell me that we have spent money on projects. You know, this Day of Disability on the 3rd of December, in my opinion, that's really a waste of money, the way that it's been done. You have mentioned that advertising, you know, I've asked you the question about advertising. You say that, you know, you predominantly spend awareness on the Day of the Disability. In terms of the pie chart, mainstreaming awareness is 950,000 rand. International Day for the Person with Disability is 1 million rand. It means that you spend 1.9 million actually on that day if your answer was correct. My other question is, in terms of the Disability Alliance, you say it's an interim body. Who affiliates to that body? Who's part of that body? I don't know who's the members of that body and who play an active role. And do you consult all bodies for disability, persons with disabilities in South Africa? And do you have a list of that things? Thank you, Steve.
Honorable Gamedi.
Thanks, Chair. Penny, you would know, I come from the NCOP, and usually see the OSDP when you go out. But the question I have is, how do you communicate with provinces, even with local municipalities, as a national structure, even up to municipalities? Because if they are supposed to have, you know, one thing, one voice happening with regards to disability issues, their synergy in whatever is being done by OSDP, how do we try to have one unit, one communication structure, whether we would have the OSDP in provinces, that we have it in the presidency, in the presidency, in the premier, in the mayor. How far are we in that? One experience that we had as a community is that when we move out, these units are just thrown in any other department, other than finance, social development, premiers, you know, there's just no uniformity. What's actually the plan? The other question will be with regards to funding and budget. How would you account for donor funding? Do you account to them, you know, directly, and how do you inform us as a community, as parliament, that we have this type of funding and this is how we've used it, and does this really funding add value? Without this funding, there wouldn't be such a change if there was. So that we get this explanation, you know, as public rest, ours is to explain to the people outside, so that we know what is happening. The last one would be on the key activities that that incurred expenses, more especially on monitoring and evaluation. You ask for questions on activities, here's one. You could just name, you know, say we had this on monitoring, this is what we incurred on evaluation, whether on department, and lastly, how do we really get to involve civil society and other groups on issues of disability? Thank you.
Thank you, members. We will have a second round of questions. Another question before I'm giving over to the OSDP is in relation to the African decade. I know that the time for the African decade has lapsed, and I know it was agreed to that they're going to extend the date, and you notified all of us. To the honourable members, maybe you don't know this, but the date has extended, but until when is this date extended? What has been done with the African decade? How are you involved in the African decade? Are you just funding it? So if you can just brief us on the African decade, please. And please answer the members' questions as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'll start first with the question posed by a member of the NCOP, Honorable Dade Kamete. And that what we do, essentially, with regards to civil society, we work with them through the structures of South African Disability Alliance. We consult with them all the time, and we ensure that we involve them. But the only challenge, Honorable, is that we do not reach every person with a disability in the country. It's been a bit of a challenge. We're trying to find a strategy to do that. That's why we rely mainly on the mainstream organizations who are the members of SADA currently. And with regard to the question of MNE, honorable members will know that every June the presidency publish a set of indicators. So what we then do first, we design the indicators, we design the strategy for our monitoring and evaluation and the tools. Then we review those indicators each and every year. Those are published in June, July of every year. So that's where we actually spent some money and some work. It's done through the Statistics South Africa offices in partnership with the OSDP. With regards to the question posed by Honorable Mare, you know, I'm sure the members of African Disability Alliance would be very shocked if they hear that you don't know that, because one of them is here. Our chairperson is the Honorable Chair here, is a member of the South African Disability Alliance. She serves in the Deaf Federation South Africa National Executive Committee. So I don't know if Honorable Mare says he doesn't know the chairperson. Okay. So that question is answered. The
I'm not a member of SADA. My organization
is
a member of SADA.
That's
not
yet.
And you know why, and we discussed that, why I'm not a member of SADA.
Yeah.
So I just needed to clarify that.
Yeah, but the organization is a member of SADA. In any case, the South African National Council for the Blind, Quadriplegics Association, National Council for Physically Disabled, Epilepsy South Africa, DEFSA, Down Syndrome South Africa, Federation for Mental Health, Disabled People South Africa, which Honorable Moss and Honorable Andrew are here. So those are the people that are within SADA. It's an interim structure currently, because you see, Honorable Mare, we have to understand that the South African Federal Council has had some challenges. They've had to close because we couldn't fund them at the OSDP further through the drying up of donor funding. So we've had to, you know, withdraw our assistance there. But then they now form themselves into an interim structure which will be confirmed in the coming few months. The donor funding question which was asked by Honorable Gamede, that I think the difficulty is that we do not report to Parliament with regards to rent and send expenditure. I think we need to start doing that on donor funding. We haven't done that in the last few years. But I mean, obviously, on the request of the committee, we will have to do it. What we have been reporting to Parliament here was the activities within the donor funded project. That's what we've been doing. But we would definitely be available to report on the expenditure on those funds. They normally, we report an account directly to the donor. They request reports, we give them the reports, we take the audited statements. They normally appoint their own auditors. I'm not sure why, but we've had to, you know, agree with them that they should appoint their own auditor, which should work within the internal audit of the presidency within that particular time and work with us on the audit. So that's what then happened. I'm not going to go back to the question of awareness. I think I've answered that question. There was a question on the INDF and the NDPF. Yes. Honorable Andrew, I must agree with you. We really want to also clear that confusion. What we want to do is to ensure that the public understands that the NDPF does not necessarily replace the integrated strategy. But what it does, it actually complements the work that is in the INDF. So it's a more broader framework. It's a continuing overall policy on disability. But it also creates an environment which is kind of barrier-free. There are things that really just are major challenges, generally speaking, in terms of disability. So part of the National Disability Policy Framework is that it has an implementation guideline which is attached to it, in terms of how it's going to be implemented. Then it takes into consideration many other aspects. There are implications, of course, of how this is going to be done. So that's where we are currently at. With regards to the question posed by the Honorable Chair, there's a plan, Honorable Chair, to now begin the roadshow with the organization. We would like to do that the sooner the better. In fact, we plan to start from the 1st of April with that particular roadshow. We will inform the committee as to how far we are going. We're looking at provinces, really, because that's where you find most of the structures of persons with disabilities that are functional. So we will go into those provinces, we will walk the talk and deal with the roadshows as you go. We do not want to leave departments behind, because for some reason, I mean, obviously they are implementing, so we've got to find a way of really getting them on board. Honorable Chair, with regard to the question asked by Honorable Mare on the 2% target, I want to throw the question back to Honorable Mare. You see, we will have to work together here, because the reason is that we work within the department directly. We go into the department, we ask them how far they've gone with the statistics. But I must tell you, Honorable Mare, we get the same answer that you get. And I think Honorable Mare must agree with me that you have not given me enough power to can summon the DGs and ask them why they haven't answered anything, especially with regard to the 2%. But I think I agree with you. The important thing to do, quite critically, is to work with Parliament. If honorable members can assist us sometimes to pose questions from where they are sitting to departments directly, definitely we will get the response that we require. The other thing, Honorable Mara, is that, you know, HR managers are sitting in a position where they know that if they don't meet certain targets, nothing will be done to them. You can make them sign performance agreements, they do. But the difficulty that we still face is that some will say to you, they can't find disabled people. That's the answer that we get, which is unacceptable, I know, and I'm sure it upsets you a lot in any case. But we have to now agree that we must make some kind of inroad into this matter. I would even suggest that the Honorable Chair must just try and call us together for an informal meeting, so that we can then plan exactly what we are going to do next, because it's been dragging on. And currently, Honorable Mara, we're standing at 0.26%. And the difficulty is that, remember, there's an increase in the number of people in the public service, the percentage of persons with disabilities will go down, you see? So this is where we are currently. But we have in place the national strategy. It's called the Job Access Program or Job Access Strategy. Cabinet has approved it. We are now moving on with the implementation of that strategy in partnership with the Department of Public Service and Administration. We hope to be able to meet this target at the end of the next financial year, 2009 and 2010. If we go vigorously in terms of asking departments to go to persons with disabilities, the organizations themselves. So we've asked that they do that. Some of them have agreed. And we hope that that process will unfold quite quickly. I think I've covered most of the questions that the members have asked. Oh, yes.
And chair and also uniformity.
Okay, yes, in that province. Okay. And with the tax legislation, we started work with the National Treasury and FAS currently. They have, we've given them the definition because we've had to say, you know, that there have to be some changes in the Income Tax Act of the definition that they had there. We then asked them to adopt our definition because it was approved by Cabinet. Then the second thing we've done was that we've asked them to review the concessions that are currently there in terms of medical and assistive devices and other related concessions. So we will then have to present a written report to the committee Honorable Gamete, that still remains a challenge also. There are certain decisions that have been made in the provinces that we cannot change. They are made in the provincial legislatures. They are endorsed by members of provincial legislatures there. In Gauteng, for example, they have put the disability scope within the Human Rights Directorate. The same applies to the Western Cape. They have put it in the Human Rights Directorate. It's a decision that was made by provincial legislatures. We have tried to convince the premier offices to look at formulating it otherwise. But I guess that what we would need to do is to test, is to put a test case and see whether this system that is applied in the Western Cape, sorry, and Gauteng, whether they work. Do a test case and research it first and see whether it really works. If it does not work, then Honorable Government would have to revisit the process and ask that there be a review of this decision in terms of how the uniformity should be. As you know, in the presidency, the GDCNY is within the policy unit. For me, personally, it works very well in that process. The only thing is that for us to reach uniformity is to look at a test case, see if it works. If it really works, then we have to reconsider how we're going to present it to this committee again in the next meeting of the strategic plan. Did I leave any now? Can I just check? No, we've done that. The African Decade, the Secretariat is based in Cape Town. Honorable Chair, that has been extended to 2019, end of 2019. The Minister's Council of Social Affairs made a recommendation in Namibia last year for an extension. They have taken it to the African Union Summit, which is taking place as we speak, and the Head of State Summit will probably approve it next week. If it's approved, we will immediately inform the committee and we will give the committee the activity plan of the decade, steering committees and so forth. Currently, we are working together with them, but we would like to keep the Secretariat as independent as possible. We are an ex-officio member of the board of the Secretariat of the decade plan. We are not a member of the association or the Secretariat itself. So we've tried to keep them as independent as possible, and we are assisting them with their functionality as much as we can. As I said, we are funding part of their activities and also, you know, maybe board meetings and so on. And we've just had the last board meeting now in the week to look at their plan and so forth. Just to mention, Honorable Chair, they have plans on programs on HIV and AIDS for young people. Also, they've got programs on disability services. They've got programs on rehabilitation. They have programs on health, education, and employment. And they just opened the West Africa office in Dakar. And they will be opening the East Africa office in Addis Ababa in the next few months. That's how far we work with the decade. But it has been extended, as I said, to 2019.
Thank you. Thank you, OSDP. Anumari, you had a
Just to follow up, I think on the employment, most certainly, you know, I mean, from my side, I've said, you know, that there's been a stringent rule to enforce that, and I'm more than willing to support that. Because, you know, that is, in my opinion, discrimination. That you can enforce others, but you don't enforce employment in terms of, you know, of disabled people. In terms of the tax and SARS, you know, I mean, I work in my portfolio incredibly closely with SARS and Treasury with regards to that. And I doubt whether there's enough communication. The one thing that I picked up really, and that's an honest recommendation to you, is communication to taxpayers with disability or taxpayers with disabled people as dependents. I get that every day, that people don't understand that, don't realize the benefits and the advantages and the concessions within the tax legislation. So most certainly in terms of communication, there's a huge responsibility there. Then my third point is in terms of municipalities, in other words, using other levels of government to also assist in this process. My personal experience is that many municipalities think that if they have got a ramp in front that complies with the minimum requirements, then they are disabled friendly and accessible. But that is where it then sometimes stops. And so often that ramp is so steep that you can't get up. And if you look at building regulations, they will just say, you know, X and X business comply with the minimum regulations. And I mean, you know, there are so many cases, so many examples where municipalities are the biggest culprit in this whole thing, and that is where service delivery must take place. So that doesn't happen, and there's a, I mean, you can basically leave all your other jobs internationally and only work with municipalities in terms of service delivery to people with disabilities, because that is a huge problem. And if you don't solve that, you can spend so much money that you want, you will not improve the lives of people with disabilities adequately. Thank you, sir.
Honourable members, okay, I've got a question. I'm just looking for the other day. Correct me if I'm wrong. We are the vice chair for the Africa. Is there something regarding that, the convention? If you could just remind me that again, okay? And then we will be hosting the first conference for Africa for the Committee of Experts. Is that what you see again at South Africa? Just correct me as you go along. But this, I would want, for this, I'd like to request, please, to get this information, it must be given timely so that it can go out to members. We don't want to hear that the information comes to us in the last minute and then suddenly we have to help with the implementation of this activity. So that information must come to us, obviously well in advance. Okay, then what does this now mean? You know, as Honorable Marie was saying, we can sit in all these international committees and so forth and so forth, but what are we doing on the ground so that when this panel of experts actually evaluate examples, for example, from Africa and the work that's done in this country, what do they then say? Okay, if they go on site visits, and we know from our site visits what the people are going to say, you know? So they, for example, will say, well, I don't know this office, I don't know the OAMDC, I don't know the convention, those type of things. So we can, you know, what does that thing mean for, what does it mean when they come? What are the activities? And what does the program for the committee mean? You must remember also we are coming to the end of our term. We are new members that will be coming onto this committee. Then that committee obviously needs the whole orientation again. So, yeah, we have 18 months left within that 2 years, as you were saying. So it's 18 months. So this committee, as I said, needs to know well in advance what is its role to that commitment. So, as I said, information must come beforehand and not on the eve of the activity. Just one more. I'm just answering my book here. I think I will wrap up at the end of you the questions that have been answered. Honourable Gamelia, I see your hand as well.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to tell you, I thought maybe you mentioned because it's the past thing that is 2010 and people with disability. what's happening, whether on advertisement, whether, you know, on promotion, on transport. I was going to be seeing some of the pamphlets, you know, readiness, accessibility, all those things that concern the people.
Thank you, Honorable Kamili. I think you messed that up because I see in your political presentation the overview on the OACP's activity journey to March 2007. It talks about accessible transport, so I'm glad it's brought up and you can just maybe respond to that. Then, if it's really in, I know it's not for this annual report, but I'm asking this question because it's still very much fresh on our minds, and we don't want to ask this question much later in the year. You know, even though we are hearing something else, but we know that on the 3rd of December is International Celebration Day for Disabled People, the 3rd of December. I don't know, Honorable Marie, maybe she was too much money spent on that day, but I understand where the understanding is coming from. But the 3rd of December is International Day for Disabled People. Last year, I don't know if some of the members are away, so there was something that happened. Since we ratified that convention, we are one of the countries that had to report back after 18 months, and we cannot celebrate the 3rd of December. I'm not talking about the provinces, but I'm talking about the international event. Number one, the date was postponed last year to another date. I understand the reason and the information behind that, but the OACP, what was your role in that expo? What was your preparation leading up to that day as well? Secondly, the honourable members that were maybe not involved, we as members were not involved in that activity, but I must admit I went to the chief with this, say, telling him that the day for disabled people was exposed postponed to another day. And he was saying, if important people cannot make it for the 3rd of December, why not ask MPs or Parliament, Speaker of Parliament, to come to events on the 3rd? Of December, or use Parliament for the 3rd of December, use the people that are available, but don't, because people are not available for the 3rd of December now, postpone the day for disabled people. Because of that postponement, it looks like, and I think in the eyes of the world, that we don't take matters regarding disabled people seriously. And I think to avoid that type of embarrassment again that we experienced last year, you know, you could ask JMC for assistance, but we should not allow a postponement of an international day that's recognized for us as disabled people. We never did postpone Women's Day or Children's Day or Youth Day to another date. We never do that. Why do we have to accommodate us as disabled people and postpone our important day to another day? The people informed me that that we complain that departments don't meet their targets, they don't take us serious, then here we come along. And if we don't celebrate our International Day on that day that has been set aside right on the calendar, and we say, ach yeah, we can be okay, postpone it, then they will take us serious. So it's only, you know, being an example to the rest of the departments as well. So the emphasis is that, as Chief was saying, let's use members of Parliament, use those that are available to have their day. Yeah, many activities happening in December, but it's International Day for us as disabled people, and that needs to be celebrated. OACP, your role in that, in to keep the 3rd of December. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jay. And let me start with the comments that the Honorable Marais has made. I think I agree with you. The problem is that the concessions are handled by different parties. You know, there's a lot of people involved in this thing, like pharmacists and doctors, and so that communication is not really filtering down to disabled persons on the ground who are testers. Obviously test consultants are also involved. So that just makes it very difficult. But I think what I will do then, I'll make a commitment to work with you on this matter. As soon as next week. Because you see, I think you are correct. I mean, you see, honorable member, if we don't push SARS to understand and accept, I think what you need to do is to help us really here. To accept the current definition of disability. That's where we have a problem. And as you know, if you cannot define something, you can't cost it. And therefore it means that you can't spend money on it. Because it's undefined. It becomes an unfunded mandate. So we will definitely work with you closely, with your office, just to see if we can still consult us and deal with this matter once and for all, because it will keep coming back to the committee if we don't do it that way. With regard to what the Honourable Chair has raised, I must take this opportunity to apologize to members of disabled persons organizations who are here, for about 4 or 5 here, for what happened. There were a number of factors. It wasn't only that the deputy president and the president were not available on the day. Yes, it was one of the reasons. There was a cabinet meeting which was quite important on that day. And I agree with the Honorable Chair that we should have thought of using members of parliament for this. But also, you know, fate is very difficult. For some reason, there was a taxi strike in PD. And they were saying that if any buses come into the townships on the 7th, on the 3rd or the 2nd, they would have to then deal with those buses. So as I said, you know, fate is something very difficult and unpredictable. So, and that information came to us on the 29th of November, and the strike was starting on the 5th. And members would have seen on TV that is what was happening. Preparations were on, everything was procured, everything was ready, and then we had this information. So we had to make a decision. We then called the members of the South African Disability Alliance to a meeting in Johannesburg. They came and they told us unequivocally that they were not going to participate in the function on the 11th. We had to accede and understand, because this is not the government day, it's an international day of disabled persons. Had we decided otherwise, we would have been extremely unpopular with everybody in the country. So we then had to accede to the decision of this alliance, and we then apologized for the mishap. But our commitment to this day still stands. This is not something that happened intentionally. We are clear and very sure that it's not going to happen again. We will definitely make sure that it happens on the relevant day, and make sure that the activities that are happening towards the day are carried out in full. What I will do, Honorable Chair, I will write a report on this matter, because I think it's important just that so that members can have a written report, so that it's not only a minute issue for the discussion here. We will write a report and send it next week just to explain exactly what happened with regard to this. And we really want to apologize for the mishap. It's not something that we anticipated would take place. There were circumstances that just were beyond our control, and the South African Disability Alliance was not prepared to move on this matter. They were very clear. They told us under no circumstances that they would be part of that celebration of the 11th. So we had to put everything to a halt with regard to that decision. Oh yes, the 2010 question. We are currently working with SAFA on this matter. Our main focus is on accessible transport and accommodation, accessible stadiums and so on. So we've been working with them very, very closely. I know that SAFA has gone ahead and appointed a consultant to deal with some of the matters. We just believe that it's a matter that SAFA must deal with directly. We're giving advice in terms of standards, in terms of measures to be put in place and preparation for the spectacle. There are organizations for disabled persons like QASA who are completely on board with this project. They are working very, very closely with the Football Federation. And so we would then see how this turns out. But I think the important thing currently is to make sure that we ensure as an office that disabled persons are involved in this process, and which they are as we speak. Okay. It looks like, Honorable Chair, I have covered most of the issues that were raised by Honorable Member. Oh, yes. In terms of the Bureau, Madam Chair, there's this structure within the Convention. If honourable members will remember that each and every international treaty body has a committee. It has a committee, it has a bureau, it also has an implementing team or task team. It also has the members of the IPU who are part of the convention, members of parliament. What will happen is that we are going to be chairing this for Africa in the next 2 years, as I said. We will then take into consideration the Committee of Experts, which will report, of course, to Geneva. What we would like them to take, together with persons with disabilities in South Africa, this process forward. We then want to follow the advice that the committee has given us of popularizing the convention on the ground. Besides, this is will be done by the special rapporteur and the ombudsperson when they come to South Africa for inspection purposes. We will then make sure that we also ask the JMC to be part of that investigation, because when the special rapporteur gets here and the ombudsperson, they have their own way of looking at things. Hence the advice that we should roll out the convention in the field out there. We would definitely take that as serious advice, and we are going to implement it very, very vigorously, as the committee has recommended. When we host the conference of state parties, we will look at how it will be done. There will be about 192 countries that will be part of that. But mainly, the ones that will have voting rights will be those that have ratified only. Not all countries will have voting rights on the issues of the convention. So we will certainly inform the committee on time with regard to that conference. The reason why we're sitting in this international committee, Madam Chair, is precisely that we do not have much expertise in government to work on this matter. Most expertise really would lie probably in the Department of Justice, Social Development, Health, and the Presidency, and Education, apparently, and also. So we're trying to see if the Human Rights Commission can form a Section 5 committee, which will then work with the OSDP on this particular convention. So they have agreed to do that. They will then form the committee in March this year which will work closely with us on the on the convention. And so that's where we are. So somehow we've got to end up doing this work on international at international level. And I agree with the Honourable Mare that some of the work would have to be focused mainly on local government, and we've got a plan for that. We started working with the municipalities very closely, and this is one of our biggest targets actually that we have submitted to Treasury for implementation purposes. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, I think we come to the end of this presentation. I see many, many issues have been coming up, but we will not be able to deal with it before the end of this term, but we can hand this over to the other committee, the next committee. I've asked the researcher then to come up with recommendations that need to be handed over to the new committee. Before we're going to hand over our term in this year, we're going to call this year from the presidency because of the finances, and most of the members here are not happy. Benny, I do not agree. I know you said you don't agree that we don't need to call the CFO, but we're going to call him. Many of the issues have been brought up, and we need to interrogate the CFO. There's a lot of documents here that the members still haven't received. So if you can please forward those documents to me, and then I can forward it to the members, especially the reviewed IMDA. I know it was sent, but please resend that. And there's a policy framework. It's very important that we have the implementation plan so that we can receive that implementation plan and scrutinize the document. And then the plan for the roadshow, can you please inform us timely so that we can join them at the roadshow, where members can decide if they want to join that roadshow and relating to the convention. And I would like to know, this year, your strategic planning session, and when are you going to have it so that I can record it?
Chair, we hope to have it within the first week of April. Because we just want to finish off the activities up to the 31st of March. And then we will then have our strategic plan, probably first or second week of April. We just want to meet the South African Disability Alliance first in a major meeting which is happening in February. Once we've done that, we'll take some of their issues on board, and then we'll go for the next strategic planning session in April. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We will keep that date, and this committee session will keep that date in mind. Thank you. I think it's very important that this committee do call then the African Decade, because we haven't called them. So I think we need to call the African Decade. Hopefully when we call the African Decade, then you need to come with them and to present with them their report. And there's just a few things that we need to speak to before in the end of our term, and especially for this year. Before we can close this session, I do get emails from SADA. Some of those emails I do try to forward to you as much as possible. Honourable Mare, in relation to the tax, SADA, they've been sending emails around, they've been asking SADA members to give their comments. I will forward that email to you, and the rest of the members, I think you as well. And I think some of you can assist by giving comments to that document from SADA. The email that I do receive, I will forward that to you as well. Thank you, Honourable Members, and to the OECD. Thank you for your presentation, to the two gentlemen. Thank you for members for participating. Yes, we need to interrogate you, because we need to know what's going on, especially for people with disabilities. We need to report back to our constituencies. And they've been asking us what's happening. So that's why we need to interrogate you before we can answer our constituency. Thank you for being here. We're going to take a short break. The next presentation will be then the ORP. There are some fresh tea and coffee. We will have a 5 to 10 minute break and then we will reconvene. Thank you.
Thank you.